Going to get to the BetQL guest line. Talk a little Nats baseball. All our baseball coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Check out the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Nats had a wild one last night. I took the girls up to go do bedtime. They were down 4-0 early. And when I came back down, they had flipped the script.
They came roaring back.
Yeah, dude. Helping us look at everything now is our friend Andrew Golden from the Washington Post. Andrew, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're good, man.
We're good, dude. So, pretty wild game last night. Take us just through kind of the fluctuations of that thing for them to come roaring back.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, so what you have, Mackenzie Gore, who's been struggling recently, trying to figure things out, and he comes up and gives up a pair of homers. They're down 4-0, and you kind of feel like it's a, you know, oh, here we go again kind of game in that sense. And then he's kind of figured it out. Mackenzie Gore wasn't perfect moving forward, but he was a lot better. And then the offense just kind of took over, and I think once you saw them grab that 5-4 lead, they just kind of kept pulling away, and we talked a lot about James Wood, and he really did it all last night. He had four runs scored, two extra base hits, two stolen bases, two runs. He's only one of six players to ever do that, and he's a rookie. So just really impressive. But I think what you're seeing from the young guys of K-Bear with CJ and with James Wood, just a lot of talent they showed it last night.
Dude, I mean, K-Bear hasn't hit that well. It's coming on. But CJ and Wood, they seem like serious, serious pieces for the long haul. And I know the Nats aren't making the playoffs this year. Last night was an awesome win. I know they've taken three of the last four. They're now, what, eight? They're still 10 under 500?
Yeah, they're 10 games under 500.
But, dude, to help me out, is it Baseball America that does the minor league rankings? Didn't the Nats just got a big old boost in what the rest of the league sees in their minor leagues?
Yes, they're now fourth with their minor league system. And so I think if you look at the trade deadline, I think it's kind of the point, right? Obviously, you don't want to have a sell-off every year. But I think on the other end of it, when you trade Hunter Harvey, you trade Lane Thomas, and you trade those guys, you get a good return back. And so they definitely boosted their minor league system once again. And so for them to be fourth, I mean, I think the future's coming, obviously. You have Dylan Cruz in the minors, and you have a lot more talent behind him. And so obviously, you know, at the major league level, that means some growing pains. But I think that they're setting themselves up to have a lot of success next year moving forward.
Seeing how their bats, their young bats are waking up, and you're looking at Corbin and his pitching, he's going to be out. How do you see them building this team as they move forward to contend?
They had to spend money this offseason, right? I mean, Corbin's going to be off the books, right? And mm-hmm. So they're going to be relatively cheap hanging this offseason. So I think this is a time you can spend some money to kind of upgrade. I think they just need more hitting. I think when you look at both their corner infield, first base and third base, they haven't gotten a ton of power from those positions, especially since those rebuilds really gotten going. And so they have a handful of minor league options at third base, but I think they could definitely spend their first, definitely add a DH, and definitely add at third base if it's possible. So I think that's where they need to go to. And obviously you could never have enough pitching. And so if they can sign a starter, I think they'd definitely be in business. So I think those are all things that you should look at there in terms of where they can upgrade.
So we're talking with our friend Andrew Golden from the Washington Post. You can give him a follow at Andrew C. Golden. I've heard you mention that. I don't know if you know, like, Ryan Clary and Toby Altizer are guys that do a lot of baseball coverage. I've heard this. All right, the Nats have some talent. Now it's time to spend. They used to spend. Then they won the World Series, and they stopped all spending. They completely gutted everything.
Right.
What indication is there that they're going to start spending again?
I think this offseason is going to be the first indication, right? The lawyers decided they weren't going to sell the team and that they're going to hold on to the team. And so I think as a result of that, that means that if they're going to hold on to it, they need to try to spend this offseason. So I think this will be the first indication this offseason whether they're actually going to do that and whether they're actually going to invest back in the team. It kind of remains to be seen. I think we can see it all plays out, but I think they definitely should. But I think it's a matter of does them holding on to the team, they're really invested again, or is it just them holding on so they get the right price? I think that's kind of the question. I think that we'll get that answer hopefully soon.
I mean, I hope they spend again. It'd be awesome
if they spend. Yeah, they may get the right price or better.
For sure. I think ultimately, right, like that's what you want. Like, you want your team to, you want all the teams and all the owners to be spending. You don't want this to be uncompetitive. I mean, and obviously, you're looking at, you also want to spend when your best guys are kind of reaching their peaks. And obviously, CJ Abrams had an up and down year, right? But obviously, he's shown flashes that he can be a good guy. You have James Wood in the mix. You have some young starting pitching. And so it's all been ascending at the right time. You want to spend at the right time. It feels like all that lines up to spend. So you don't want to spend too late where guys on the back end of, you know, back end of their years before free agency, and then you don't get that, you know, your championship window is shorter. So I absolutely think they should spend this offseason.
Yo, make them. I do think resolution with the television stuff, with the Masson stuff, now that Angelos is gone, I think it could be a huge offseason, probably for both the O's and the Nats, just not having this like giant elephant in the room. Is that at least kind of what you're hearing, like the track this is on?
Well, I think it definitely, you know, I think having a new owner and having a new, you know, having a new person for the Orioles, I think that definitely helps, right? I think that helps the relationship and creates a clear path to resolve it. I think it remains to be seen whether that actually happens, but obviously having a new owner definitely clears the path to have more of a conversation to maybe get that resolved. And so I think you're right in that they're definitely in a better situation than they were before with the previous owner. I think Ruben has the opportunity, and the winners have an opportunity to, you know, make amends and kind of find that middle ground and come to a resolution on this. Hopefully in the near future. I don't know when that will be, but it definitely sets themselves up to have more likelihood that it will happen.
All right, let's make it happen, dude. Specific to the trade deadline, a lot of people were kind of up in arms. They didn't move Finnegan. I am a firm believer that you trade all relievers. There's only one Mariano Rivera. Hunter Harvey, right, since they moved him, has been struggling. Where do you land on what they did and didn't do at the trade deadline?
I thought it was a good trade deadline. I think when you look at Kyle Finnegan, I personally would have traded him. I agree with you. I'm in the same boat as you. I think relievers and their performance is very volatile. Finnegan is also older, and when you look at his advanced numbers, his expected stats are a lot lower than his actual stats are. He gets hit really hard. Like Finnegan is really good when he does not get hit, but when he's off, he's really off. And so I would have traded him because you're going to pay him a lot this year in his final year of arbitration before free agency, and you're kind of hoping that he doesn't regress, but he looks kind of primed for a regression. And so when you look at that, I would have traded him. But again, like it's a matter of the value that was there for him, and Mike Rizzo didn't see the value for him. I also will say that Mike Rizzo does a really good job of not moving from his value on guys. He really is really firm in his projection on guys. And that's kind of how he's had some really good trades, like the Trey Turner and Joe Ross trade, and even the trade for Juan Soto. He got a great return, and look at how it's turning out now. So I think it's tough because I think I would have traded Finnegan, but also I think one of the things that Mike Rizzo does really well is he has his value for his guys. He doesn't move on that value, and so I think ultimately he didn't get what he wanted for Finnegan, and he kept him. So he has a trade history, and he's really good at doing trades, and so I would trust him with that.
Thanks for the time, pal.
All right, brother.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Take care. Man.
That's Andrew Golden. Check out his work in the Washington Post or follow him on X at Andrew C. Golden.